Welcome to A Gamer Story. I'm Noah Geekus, avid fan of gaming and gamers alike. Each episode will feature in-depth conversations with gamers from all areas of gaming. Have you ever wondered about the actual gamers themselves? Their motivations? Their home lives? Their quirks? Just how much time they actually spend gaming? And their thoughts on the future of gaming itself? Join me as I ask them just these questions. Are you ready? I'm very excited to welcome our special guest for today's episode of A Gamer Story. Entrepreneur, bodybuilder, and visual effects artist, the multi-talented Vicky Lau. Vicky has won numerous awards and has used her visual effects skills on a number of Hollywood projects, including Guardians of the Galaxy and Aquaman. Vicky is conducting this interview from her current location in Singapore. Let's get started. First of all, Vicky, I'm so glad to be able to speak with you today. As we are speaking, are you in Singapore right now?
Yes, actually. But I was in the US for a long time before I came back and everything just kind of turned out the way it is. So yeah.
That's amazing. I never been to Singapore, but it sounds like a great place to be because I love traveling and it's one of the places that I've always wanted to go to. So I know that you're a VFX artist who has won numerous awards and has worked on some major blockbuster projects such as the Guardians of the Galaxy movie and The Walking Dead, and has won numerous awards. But I watch your backyard adventures on your YouTube channel and I see you like iFly. I didn't even know there was an iFly in Singapore. So how about that?
Yeah, Singapore has a lot of random things, so there you go.
Yeah, oh my goodness. I've only been to iFly. I remember I was on a trip, I forget where, but it was awesome. I love iFly. So I know I got off topic, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself as a VFX artist?
Cool. So, well, basically, you know, as you introduced, I do visual effects and I'm what they would call a visual effects compositor. So basically, I take all the final footage, the 3D assets, everything, and kind of composite it into one scene for the final shot that everyone would see in the movies or on screen, stuff like that. But that being said, I also do different kinds of visual effects and I also do virtual reality. So, yeah.
Wow, virtual reality. That sounds like a ton of fun. I don't have like a virtual reality console, but I do really like whenever I can playing virtual reality at my friend's house. So, and obviously, as I said before, you're in Guardians of the Galaxy, which off screen I said was one of my favorite, which is my favorite movie. So that's amazing. So can you tell us a little bit how you got started in VFX and design?
Yes. So basically, it began when I was 14 and I was exposed to a camcorder. And, you know, back then I was like a really quiet kid. I didn't have any friends. So that camcorder sort of became my friend. So I kind of discovered the joy of video editing. And from there, it grew into visual effects. So I basically, when I went to school, I studied, you know, digital media, concentrated on like visual effects. And then when I went to the US, again, studied visual effects as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow. I definitely think that VFX is really cool because it's like kind of like a behind the scenes of like movies and shows and stuff. I saw one of your reels and I was like, and that was like super, super cool to watch.
Yeah.
So are there any important background or hobbies that could help younger people enter the career of VFX?
Good question. Background or hobbies? Well, definitely video editing is a good one to start with, mainly because video editing, it's like it gets you used to the kinds of post-production tools that you'll use before you step into visual effects. Of course, if you jump straight into visual effects tools, that's cool too. But if you're just talking about young people getting started, I think video editing is a good start. As for the background, actually, I think it doesn't matter what kind of background you have. So whether you are in engineering or you're in finance or you're even studying game, it doesn't really matter because I've met people in industry who come from all kinds of backgrounds and they are still in visual effects. It's just that they wanted to pursue visual effects. That's why they just found their way into visual effects.
I think that if there's different opportunities to get into a thing, it's really good for people because they don't have to just go and in one way, like they have video editing, or they could just try to find their way just straight into VFX or things like that. And I definitely could appreciate that, especially since I do gaming, like if there's different ways into a job in gaming or in VFX, which can also tie into gaming.
Yeah.
So how did you get your first major assignment?
So that's an interesting story. My first major assignment or project was actually The Walking Dead. So it's pretty cool. I didn't know about the show until I worked on it, and now I was like, oh, now I'm a fan of the show. So how that happened was through an internship program at school. So I was at the Savannah College of Art and Design, SCAD, that was in Georgia. And basically, I saw this flyer calling for, you know, applications to an internship. I applied, long story short, my reel was good, and the studio liked it, so that's basically how I got my first project, The Walking Dead.
That's great, especially since, like, your first big project was The Walking Dead. Like,
yeah.
That's, like, a really well-known show. That's amazing. What do you do to remain up-to-date with industry technologies and software?
Wow, okay. So technology changes very quickly, especially in things like VR, you know, visual effects, even in games. So I suppose you could say that it's important to kind of keep connected with people in your industry, because I find that what's interesting is that usually when a news breaks out about something new, it's actually already old news. But the ones who are right now in the industry and they are connected to you and they're telling you stuff, you get the kind of like your boots on the ground people telling you real-time information. So that's one. The other thing you could do also is to kind of look at what the visual effects studios are doing or what roles they're looking for. Usually, if they put out a job posting, it's either for a future project or, of course, like a current one. And it also kind of tell you the trends of, you know, where the industry is going in some way. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow. And I definitely understand when you're saying that technology is moving pretty fast right now, because, like, oh my goodness, I had a computer, a game computer, and I got it like 4 or 5 years ago now. And now, like, other game computers are like so much faster compared to it. Yeah, so the industry is moving so fast, especially with like computers and technology and stuff like that. So how do you prioritize multiple projects to meet all deadlines?
I suppose it depends on the studio you're working at. So for me, I'm a freelancer. I freelance at various studios. So each of them will have their own protocols, you know, on how many projects you get to work on. Sometimes it's just one. Sometimes it'll be like three. So for example, when I was on Guardians of the Galaxy, I was also working on Ninja Turtles and also working on Hercules. So all three. And it depends on how their system is set up. So as a visual effects freelancer, you don't actually have a say because you're working for the studio. So the studio will kind of tell you which shot to work on first. But if you're working as an independent freelancer, then of course you would want to kind of manage in terms of probably tackling. To me, well, for me, I would handle the challenging shot first, and then I'll, you know, go on to the simple. Sometimes it's better to do vice versa, but it depends on the person. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's sometimes also hard for like me as a podcaster to try and like figure out like who should go where, what time, and like to get ready, because it is a lot sometimes, and also just finding people as well.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So describe your favorite visual effect from a movie and what you like about it.
So could this be like any movie or one that I worked on? Or?
Oh, any movie, yeah.
I don't know if I have a favorite. I don't think I have a favorite because firstly, like, okay, here's the interesting thing is sometimes when you're really deep into visual effects work, and I know a lot of people who are, you know, they work on shows, but then they never watch their own work because they don't have the time. So that's part of the factor of, you know, probably don't have the time to look at all this stuff. But I would say my favorite visual effects work or shot would probably be the one that I don't know that there's any visual effects done in it. So like invisible visual effects is a thing. So for example, in the movie Gone Girl, there's actually a lot of visual effects shots in there, but nobody knows. They thought it was, you know, all real. I mean, technically it is real, but it looks, it's actually visual effects part of it as well. So it makes it so realistic, but it's actually fake. So yeah.
Yeah, I know there's like a ton of movies and shows where like I'm watching And I can't really tell that there's anything. Like, I know that there's, like, visual effects going on, but it's so hard to see. Or, like, I watch a video afterwards, like, showing all the visual effects, and I'm like, whoa, okay, that looks way more realistic than I thought it did. But, yeah, and then there's also, like, some shows that have, like, visual effects that you can notice, but they also look, like, super good, and I like those, too. So, what was your most challenging visual effects design?
Most challenging... Okay, so see, the thing about me as an artist is like after I conquer the challenging shot, I move on, so I forget about it. So, but I guess if I have to answer, I need to sit there and think though. I really forgot about my most challenging shot. I suppose the most challenging shot in a broad sense would be shots where the production crew didn't shoot any plates or any backup or stuff like that. So you have to work with only that shot itself or whatever footage you can find from set that is available that matches the perspective of that shot. So that would be my most challenging shot that I've done. I've done several of those, for example, I think there was one on The Walking Dead. I may have assisted on the shot, but I didn't actually work on it. But yeah, there was one on The Walking Dead and then a few others somewhere scattered in between. But yeah, that would be the shot where the production didn't provide you with the plate. And then you have to figure out, okay, how am I supposed to solve this issue?
Yeah, that just didn't give you anything, huh? Just leaves you to try and figure yourself out. But the fact that you get through it is really awesome because... that just shows, like, to get out a product and you work really hard and stuff. That's amazing. So what do you do for inspiration or when you need to be creative on demand?
Well, generally, I kind of enjoy doing things that are not related to visual effects just to take your mind off things. So sometimes, even though I'm very passionate about a field, it's a good thing to kind of take a step back and kind of, immerse yourself in different types of creative things, you know, or maybe supposedly non-creative things like fitness or doing something else, walking outside, you know, enjoying nature, like doing the iFly as you've seen. So, things that are not directly related to visual effects, I think it helps kind of rejuvenate yourself before you re-enter and enjoy again. So,
yeah, I took inspiration for this whole podcast from my mom. She wanted me to do something with gaming and then this is how it turned out. But I also agree with things like just fun, just leisure is definitely a great way to get out there for a little bit. Like, I'm obviously not recording a podcast every day, but sometimes I'm like on a day where I really need a break. So after I do a podcast, I'll go do something with my dad or something. Or like today I'm going to be having a sleepover with my two cousins. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So is there anything you would do differently in how you've approached your artistic progression? And if so, what?
Honestly, answer to the question will always be no, there's nothing I would do differently. Mainly because everything kind of played out the way it was meant to, according to plan. But I would say, like, for those that kind of like were thinking about how to progress as an artist, like in general, I would say, you know, trust your gut. Even though that sounds like very magical stuff, but it's not actually. To a certain extent, experiences that you gain over time will kind of hone in your intuition on your craft and on things. So maybe one shot that used to take maybe days, in the future, it'll take less time, like maybe less than an hour, with more experience and practice and your intuition telling you, okay, this is the best way to solve this and this is the best way to kind of finish up the shot. And then that's how you kind of grow further by honing in your intuition.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that because at the beginning of my podcast, oh my goodness, I was so nervous. I was like, I was shaking. I could not ask questions well at all. And now I'm much better at interviewing people and just talking and like having a ton of fun with my podcast. And we definitely grown and become like more professional and stuff. And it's a ton of fun. And it worked really well. So, you know, my podcast specializes in gaming. And I wonder, is VFX for movies different than VFX for gaming?
Yes, it's very different, but somewhat the same. So let me explain. So the different part comes in that most games require, you know, working with game engines, real-time rendering something, a lot of involving real-time elements. And if you have visual effects that are cinematic quality in games, is going to be kind of like a huge lag on the game itself. Of course, it depends on the game. Nowadays, VR is a combination of both the gaming and visual effects or cinema side of things. But traditionally, games are a little bit, you need to optimize visual effects more so for the rendering and for the playback to be smooth compared to in the cinema where it's all pre-rendered. The similar aspects between games and visual effects is, of course, that they still have to meet the need of the story. You know, everything is all about the storyline. Even in games, you need to meet the narrative. You can't just have like fancy explosions everywhere just because you want it. So, yeah, so that's the similarities and differences between the two.
Yeah, I definitely think that gaming can sometimes be a little more out there, and sometimes shows can be like more in the box with what you have to make, because like gaming is kind of like a form of media where it's supposed to be creative, it's supposed to be fantastical. Your suspension of disbelief is easier to understand in gaming because you're not in the game. And I mean, you can feel like you're in the game, but you never really will be in the game. So you know that it's like a fantasy game and you can understand that it's like not real and stuff. Where shows, they try to be realistic and stuff, I think. What was the hardest effect you've had to make?
I think this is a similar question to the one with the challenging shot. So it's going to be, I need to recall these things. Like I said, like once I create them, I move on to the next one and I forget about them. So hardest effect. Okay, I guess the hardest issue that I had to solve that is related to visual effects would be when I was working at Intel at the time, they had this thing that's a volumetric shot they had to work with. So it's like they're capturing 4D data, which is, you know, not 2D, not 3D, but 4D. So four-dimensional information. So that would be the hardest so-called effect because it's never been done before at the time. And the software that was available that we used to solve that shot wasn't kind of optimized to handle four-dimensional data. So, yeah.
So you were using like futuristic, you're trying to sell something futuristic. It's obviously going to be hard because obviously you're trying to move forward with technology is obviously going to be hard. So how much space does a VFX artist get to make their effects? Like how much experimentation and freedom do you get in movies?
Good question. I would say that it depends on the film and depends on the director. Sometimes when you work with a director, there'll be ones that are very strict on the look of the visual effects. So you really have no say about the creative side of things, only how to execute them, that's all. But then there'll be others where they are completely, you know, like, oh, you can do whatever you want. As long as it looks good, I don't care, kinds of directors. So that's where you have more creative input. Of course, it also depends on the role. So there are some roles in visual effects that allows you to work closer with the director and have more creative input versus the ones that are just like, you know, button pushers in visual effects. So, yeah.
I think that it definitely is up to like the director who's running the film to have an idea of what should go in the film. I think that a director who gives freedom is like, that can still make a really good film if he does it correctly, which I think is, if you do get that freedom, I think it can be a ton of fun. So what do you spend most of your time doing in general, just in general?
Okay, well, besides visual effects, I also teach visual effects and virtual reality online. I teach like over 80,000 students right now. Well, I have a book that's out. It's also about visual effects, but well, everything seems like surrounding visual effects. And I'm also into fitness. So that's basically what I do, yeah.
That sounds, I mean, if you really like visual effects, then that's just, then I guess then you can do things based around that and you'll have fun. So that's good. Fitness is good as well because, I mean, some people who game and stuff, like, aren't so fit because, like, they just sit in chairs a lot or, like, they do stuff like that. So fitness is always a plus side.
Yeah.
So was it hard being a young female getting into the industry and being taken seriously?
Yes, mainly, okay, there are two aspects to this. So number one, I'm not from the U.S., so that is a huge thing in when it comes to working in visual effects because, you know, they tend to not want to do the actual paperwork, immigration, blah, blah, blah. So number two, yes, you know, being a woman is a little bit harder for them to take you seriously, which is why it's a good thing that sometimes when you submit demo reels, if the work is really that good, I don't think they really care that much. But initially when I was first just getting started, the fact that I was a foreigner and I guess not really fitting the typical visual effects artist profile was hard for people to say, oh, your visual effects, yeah, well, yeah, no. So yeah, it was challenging at first, but once your work got good, people don't really care. So that's a good thing.
I mean, you managed to get through and you're here, so
yeah.
I guess it worked out in the end, didn't it?
Yep.
So what kind of skills are most important to focus on as a VFX artist?
If we're talking about technical skills, definitely, you know, of course, the software that you're supposed to use, that the job posting requires, so Maya, or if you're a 3D modeler, Nuke, if you're a compositor, blah, blah, blah. But for soft skills, I think, you know, most people don't talk about this because they think, oh, visual effects, just technical skills, you just need to perform. But actually, I think it's also important that you are a really good communicator. So even though it seems like in visual effects, all you do is sit behind a computer screen and don't talk to anyone and like sit in a dark room, communication is actually very important, because I have met and spoken to supervisors who would, you know, sometimes complain about why didn't the artist just tell me that she did the shot wrongly or he did the thing wrongly, and it will save everyone time. But, you know, they didn't communicate that. So that's important to understand. That even though you're sitting behind a computer screen, communication is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that communication is totally important, because, like, if you don't talk, then there's no way that you can understand each other. It's so hard to do something with someone else without communicating. There's just a barrier. You can't do that. You have to have some form of communication. You have to understand each other and to get that kind of thing done. So now, just moving on, going off of the topic a little bit, what's your favorite game?
Oh man, favorite game. Need to think back to my childhood. Final Fantasy, is either 12 or 13? The one with Vera in it. But anyway, one of the Final Fantasies. I don't remember whether it's 12 or 13, but it's one of those. That's my favorite. Mainly because I like, you know, the kind of like the expansive nature of it, and that you can follow a storyline, but at the same time, you don't really have to. And even after you finish all the levels and all the quests, you can still level up like endlessly, which is what I enjoy. So yeah.
Definitely. I like Final Fantasy VII. I mean, everyone likes Final Fantasy VII, but then they had a remake a few years ago, so, and I played that, and that was pretty good. So Final Fantasy is a great series.
Yeah.
Are there any current games that you're playing?
Current games? Maybe like mobile games, mainly because I don't really have the time. So, and my consoles are like all, you know, outdated, like back in PlayStation and PlayStation 2. So, yeah, just mobile games, like this thing called Monster Shooter or Dinosaur. It's some Dino Monster Rampage thing on on mobile when I'm bored. So, yeah, there you go.
To be fair, mobile games are technically games. So, I mean, technically it counts. I play mobile games and stuff, but I also have a console. And I use both. So, I mean, I think mobile games are still, like, a ton of fun, just on a smaller device. So, how do you stay on top of current games and gaming trends?
So, as far as the gaming side goes, current games, I mean, to me, it's just like if a YouTube recommended video pops up, then that to me is like kind of what I would look at. But if we're talking about like current gaming trends, now that one I'm more in tune with, because, you know, I don't really have the time to play games these days. But when it comes to development stuff, yes, those would be, you know, on certain gaming sites or like game news site, Polygon or whatever, stuff like that. Or again, the connections. So game developers that I know who would post stuff or share stuff with me whenever things happen, and I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. So, yeah.
Yeah. I said this before, but I'm not the most kept up on, like, gaming trends. I just play, like, what the newest games are. Maybe, like, I'll check out a review for it if I think it's iffy or if it's, like, not my style of game. Because, like, sometimes, like, I play games that aren't my style, but I have to, like, check them out first because, like, I like platformers and, like, sometimes, like, action games, but like, sometimes you'll find a game that you don't know if you're going to play or not, so.
Yeah.
As a VFX artist, do you think that VR games will eventually replace console games?
No, because I think there'll always be those people who enjoy, and there's going to be a lot of those people probably who enjoy the traditional format or the traditional platform or console. VR is still, I would say, is still developing. It's still a trend. It is definitely a trend, a growing trend for games. But not many, number one, are willing to invest into the, you know, the bulky headsets or whatever, the price, the everything else. And also, at the same time, games in VR are not as developed yet. I mean, there are a few titles that are super developed, but not as plentiful as the console games yet. So I think there'll always be kind of like a market for the traditional consoles or the PC games, stuff like that.
Absolutely. I think that VR can be really good. It's just that people have to start investing in it. Not only game developers themselves, but regular people who game and stuff. And then it'll grow a little bit more, because I think it's a little bit lagging behind the consoles right now. But soon enough, it'll get there. So as we get towards the end of the interview, I have a question. I know that you have a number of career interests and only focused on one. I know that you're also a bodybuilder, so how did you get into bodybuilding, and do you think the discipline helps you at all in your careers?
Very interesting question. So I actually got into bodybuilding after visual effects, I'm still doing visual effects, but way into my career in visual effects was when I got into it. The reason why I got into that is mainly because it's a good way to develop yourself. Yes, you build discipline a lot when you're bodybuilding, but to me, I would say that I already had that when I did visual effects, because to do visual effects requires you to sit there for long hours staring at a screen, trying to solve a shot by a deadline. So in a way, they're kind of similar, like, you know, they both kind of play off each other in a way. So yeah. But if you're saying getting into bodybuilding helps create discipline for that kinds of endeavor, yes, for sure. I think it helps in any kinds of endeavor that requires a strict mental focus and like concentration on any craft. So yes.
Yeah, I personally think that bodybuilding is awesome. I haven't gotten into it, but I think that it definitely helps you stay fit and also like helps you like learn and like grow as a person, and like helps you understand like patience and hard work, things like that. And I think that just really helps out in any career path. Yeah, those are things that you would need in just regular life, and I think that means only good things for people who bodybuild. So what advice would you give to a budding artist? And is it different from what you recommend to a more experienced one?
Wow, cool question. So, well, okay. I mean, it would be the same for both. The key, whether someone is new or senior in a role, is to always be, you know, staying relevant, whether that means improving your skills or upgrading your skills, you know, keeping in touch with the tools, software, the people around you, what are the new trends. It's going to be the same whether you're new, senior, or like getting out of the industry. And I think I go into greater depth in my book, which is about, again, like I said, visual effects. Actually, we also talk about games in there, so that'll be pretty cool. I would say it's like staying relevant in the industry. That's very important, because it is one thing to get into Hollywood or get into visual effects. It's another thing to stay in there for a long period of time. It's actually, I would say, it's easier to get in than it is to stay in there and stay relevant for a long period of time, because it takes a number of years. While getting in, it could be like, oh, you know, you're lucky, or like maybe a 1 year thing that you got in. Yeah, so it's a different shift.
Yeah, I think that overall, VFX is, and other things are thing, other like career paths can be like temporary in a way, like where like it's not always going to stick. And like, so you really have to work on it a lot. And I think that, I'll give you an example, like podcasting, like I do a podcast, but I was in this class, and like basically I was like the only kid, but that doesn't really matter for the story right now. Basically, the class went on and then we finished it, and I had an episode out and everyone else had an episode out. But then like some people, like most of the class stopped. And the person who ran the class told me, and everyone else there, of course, that if you get to 18 episodes, that's where you're, like, actually, like, a solid podcast. And obviously, I'm still, like, working to get there, but hopefully it'll happen soon. But I think that since some of the people left, I think that it just goes to show that not everyone makes it there, but if you just have to keep on going and keep on pushing, and you're gonna just get a foothold in the system. And I think that once you do that, you're gonna start to be more popular and start growing as a, well, in your case, a VFX artist, but in my case, like a podcaster or things like that. So I think that it's super, super important to learn and to stay and to stay where you are and to keep growing, though. Not to just fall back down and just to keep going. So is there anything you want my audience to know that I haven't asked you?
No, other than I have an audiobook and it's free. It's on the visual effects industry. Again, you'll learn exactly all the insights and the decade-long experience that I've shared in the audiobook, which is the same as the book. So yes, that's really the only thing. I mean, it'll be really, really cool to hear the thoughts on, you know, your audience coming back, especially when I believe your audience is more focused on games. It has an interesting tie to games as well, because in a way, visual effects and game development, I know a few game developers as well, they would say, like, the way the industry functions, the systems, the processes, the protocols, even the working hours are very, very similar. So, yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, I think that game developers are also, like, amazing people, and, like, I think that they work super hard to get out a good product, and that it's amazing that they work just as hard as VFX people, and they're all connected in the industry, if you get what I mean. So with that being said, Vicky, thank you again for taking the time out of your day to speak with me. I really appreciate it, and I want everyone to follow you on all of your social media accounts. And be sure to get your audiobook, Why I Do VFX. And you are incredible. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Vicky, I think that's about all the time we have. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I'm so glad you were able to discuss how visual effects has affected your life and helped you shape your career. You showed our listeners that there are many ways to have a career in visual effects for movies and, of course, video games. For those listening, please make sure you follow Vicky on all of her social media platforms that I've linked to the podcast. Thanks for listening to this episode of A Gamer Story Podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please share it with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback for me, you can reach me directly at thegamerstory.com. Thanks for listening.